lab and circle event here at Gaîté Lyrique in Paris. It's really exciting to be here because it's the final event of a two-year project, something long in the making. We went to a lot of different places all over Europe, and we're here to present a bit of the methodology that's underlying this, that is on the screen here already in front of you, Designing Europe's Media for All. It's a fun combination of workshops, design thinking, experimentation, business models, all sorts of stuff that was on the program for today. Hope you already enjoyed some of the workshops, some of the other things that were happening today. Really exciting to hear all the presentations from the different hubs from all over. Super excited you're all here. My name is Mick Terreurst, and I'm the director, creative director of Are We Europe, one of the organizations behind the circle, and one of the co-organizers of this event, along with other partners we'll be getting into in a second. And for the next 30 minutes, I'll be taking you through the underlying methodology of all these different projects, which is, called design thinking and journalism. And I always want to start with this photo, because for a lot of people, journalism is, behind your desk, you're out in the street, you're recording interviews, you're uploading your articles and your stories. But for us at Are We Europe and our partners, this is what journalism looks like. It's a collaborative co-creation process from the start. So this was in 2018 in Moldova, in Chisinau. And you see here an editor, a designer, a filmmaker, a photographer, a data journalist, another journalist, an editor, and a designer all hunched over this, these sketches, these post-its, a lot of drawings about what a story about the future of democracy in Moldova was looking like. It was at a turning point at the time. We'll get a bit more into it in a bit. But it was at a turning point between choosing for Russia or Europe. And there was a lot going on in Moldova at the time. We'll dive into it in a second. And I'll be throwing a lot of different terms at you. So bear with me. Design thinking is a non-linear process that goes in all different directions. It draws inspiration from a lot of different areas and fields. So I'm going to be talking about design thinking, cross-border collaboration, design sprints, cross-media. It's going to be about test cards, business models, accelerators, and experiments. But it's also going to be quite chill and direct. And obviously, there's a lot of methodology and thinking behind it. But what I want to show you is how you can put all this in practice. Because you're all here. You're from different organizations, from different media. You've come from far away, a place like Malta, Georgia, or you're here in Paris. And you might have heard about a few of these things. You might even apply it in your day-to-day basis, in your practice. But I'm going to try to show you how it can underlie a lot of the different projects that we've been doing and that you could be doing yourself. But mostly I'm going to be talking about a mentality change. Because in journalism, in the journalism sector, it's always a lot about how can we get the best story out there? How can we make the best investigation? How can we get our editors to make the best stories, do a lot with a very little budget? But it's also, there's very little time for creativity, co-creation, collaboration, working with people with different skill sets, and trying to get the best story out there for the best audience in the best way possible. And that's logical, because journalism is about fast-paced news breaking. It's about being the first out there on location. It's about thoroughly checking everything. You might not have the time to think about how it might look on the screen, or how it might sound in a podcast, or how it might come across in a documentary. And collaboration itself is not that baked in a lot of journalistic practices, right? You're doing your work, you push it to the editor, you put it online, or that person puts it online, someone else thinks about how to communicate it on social media. It's very rare that a journalist gets to think about the style of the story, the font that's being used in the headline of the story, or the photos or the design that's being used to publish a story. Because a lot of journalism looks like this. I just already mentioned it. People behind a desk uploading stories, out there doing interviews, doing research, and that's all very, very valuable, and that's obviously how journalism should be done. But again, for us, journalism looks like this. It's collaborative, it's design, it's fun. It can also be fun, all these processes. So a little bit about Are We Europe, the organization behind it. It's a media collective of over 750 freelancers, creatives, project managers, journalists, editors, designers all over Europe. We love making magazines, a few here. But basically, we're just very, very proud of this network that we had from places like Georgia, Estonia, from Porto, from Northern Ireland, from Sweden. And we basically always think about how we can build projects around this network, because for us, that's our most valuable asset. It's not only the stories that we make, the magazines we produce, the podcasts that we make, but it's really the people that we work with, that we collaborate with, and that make Europe and European journalism what it is. So, Are We Europe wants to go about designing Europe's media in a better way, in a more inclusive way, in a more creative way. And how you can start that is that it starts with design thinking. And not everyone might know what design thinking is about, and I'm going to explain that to you right now. Basically, it's all about this. Continuously asking yourself the question, who are you doing what for and why? Why would we do this for our audience? Why would we make a podcast that people need to listen to? Why is it not a documentary? Why is it not an article that we put online? Do we want them to read this story, share this story, comment on this story? Do we want them to be inspired? Do we want them to feel that they should do something? Do we want them to feel informed? Do we want them to feel that the world is burning and we need to do something about climate change? Probably a lot of these things are overlapping, but it's constantly asking yourself this question: why are we making this story? For whom? Why? And how? And I always love putting this photo up from a personal hero. That's David Kelly, who works at IDEO, an organization that works with Apple and a lot of things in Silicon Valley. And they basically pioneered design thinking. And a core principle was very simple. Instead of thinking about the most beautiful thing or the most pretty thing or the most, the most strong, the best sort of computer chip, the best server, it's about who is going to interact with this process? Who is going to interact with this mouse? And they basically put the user, the reader, center stage. It's a lot of focusing on problem solving and constantly asking yourself the same question. Why should the user care? Watch this or read this or use this product? And design thinking is, as I said, a nonlinear process between these five different steps. And they constantly go back and forth. First of all, you have to put yourself in the shoes, as I keep saying, of your audience. Why would they watch this this documentary? Why would they listen to this podcast? Why would they want to click on this story? And you got to really empathize with your audience to make sure that you can make the best product. There's a lot of methodologies for it, a lot of activities for it, a lot of exercises for it. But basically, it's also a very difficult thing, especially for journalists. They think they know the world. They can explain the world. They know what's important, what's not important. And it's a very difficult thing for journalists to do, to really put themselves in the shoes of who they're writing for or they're making stories for. And once you sort of know who you're working for, using a lot of exercise and design thinking, you got to define your challenge. What are we doing here? Why are we doing this? Also, again, a lot of exercises for that. But it's a collaborative team-based process that your whole team is aligned on doing something. Then the fun part starts with ideation, a lot of creative processes. I won't go into much detail about it, but it's very much a guided brainstorm process. You got to build something real quick before you got to build the real thing, whether it's a website or a podcast or a documentary. And you're basically going to put it out there already. And then before you got to invest a lot of resources, you're going to try to see what this does to people, and do it again. So you always got to test it with your audience members and your users. And that's all the methodology behind it. You can all read that up online. It's not very new. A lot of people are doing this already. A lot of smart people at all these organizations are doing this. But in journalism, it's not that common. So basically, journalists, managers, editors, before they dive into design thinking and using it in their daily practice, they're going to need to restructure their brain a little bit. And basically at Are We Europe, we developed a couple of mentality changers. The first one, before you dive into anything, is that instead of thinking in what you cannot do or what cannot work, you try to think in opportunities. So it's a mentality changer that seems very simple, but a lot of pros are always like, yeah, that will never happen, or people will never read this, or this is not important. And in a design thinking process, you got to turn obstacles into opportunities. A lot of the people that have done design sprints with me that I see here will know how might we process and all these sort of design thinking methodologies. And in a collaborative team, everybody can be creative. Whether that's the communication intern who just joined a week ago, or the manager who's already done a lot of these things, or the data journalist who think they know everything because they have all the data, they can all work together in a collaborative process, as I just showed you in the Moldova sprint, you know, when there's a multidisciplinary team working together. Everybody can be creative. Everybody can think about the design. Everybody can think about how it should be communicated about, how the data should be interpreted. And also, you can do a lot in a short period of time. It's called a design sprint. We'll talk about it in a second, because you're sprinting towards a common goal as well. And literally, you can do a lot in like 5 days. Well, we'll talk about that in a second as well. Very important, parachute journalism. A lot of people are doing that. They're flying their editors in, their journalists in. They think they make a story in the course of a week to discuss what's going on in Moldova and different places. But it don't really involve local journalists and local makers. So a big core principle of RWE Europe and all our projects is that we want to make stories with communities and not about them. So wherever we go, whether that's in Tbilisi, in Porto, Northern Ireland, Greenland, Cyprus, we try to make stories with communities and not about them. Whatever we do, we bring a diverse and multidisciplinary team. I already said so. Try to bring different skill sets, whether that's a team of journalists, but it can also be, as we said, a photographer, a filmmaker, a designer, all these different things. And most importantly, we got to respect each other's expertise while doing it. The design and the communication is just as important as the data journalist that's underpinning it all. It's also getting it's pretty warm here, I feel. I'm just going to take this off. Another big mentality changer is, and that's very difficult for a lot of journalists, they think they have their story, they think they're working on this one dossier for a long period of time, they got to kill their darlings. Because the story you might think of from the start might not be the story you're going to end with, or the best story, the best format that you're going to present this in. So instead of holding on to your preconceived ideas, you got to make use of the talent and the stories around you, especially when working in a collaborative process with a multidisciplinary team. So listen to your designer from the start before you think about how to start a story, how to start writing an article. Listen to your communications person before you start thinking about this podcast series that you want to start. And most of all, keep thinking about your audience. Who are you doing what for? Don't just listen to your editor, your manager, your own goals and ideas, but constantly try to ask yourself the question, why would this person care? Why would this person care that I bring this podcast out? Why would this person care that I bring this documentary out? And that's really a very important thing, again, of design thinking. And it might seem like a lot that you bring this team of 5, 6, 7, 8 people all together to make a story. But if you spend a little bit more at the start, you're going to save a lot down the line, especially when doing a big project. So when you want to make a podcast series, a documentary, it might seem very strange that you're first going to sketch it all out, maybe storyboard it, try to make it a bit, sketch it out on a piece of paper instead of filming it already. But you're going to save a lot down the line if you do that, test it with your audience, and then make an even better documentary. So this constant iteration, adaptation, reflection is what's going to save you a lot of resources, time, frustration, stress down the line. But also, it's a mindset. It's not a strict methodology. It's, as I said, nonlinear. You can use some of this. You don't have to always work with designers and photographers and filmmakers all the time. You can use bits and pieces of this. And it's really about this mentality change rather than saying you have to follow all these exercises in one go. So, design thinking, mentality changes, journalism should all be different. But how can you really do that in the course of, a couple days, a couple weeks, maybe a month? you can use something called a design sprint. I'm not going to go into detail about it, but it's the same five steps that I showed you at the start, right? It's about understanding, empathizing your audience, understanding your challenge, getting creative with ideas, deciding on what's the best format. Is it a podcast? Is it a video? Is it a big project that we're doing? Is it a website? Try to get something going in terms of a prototype and then testing it with your audience instead of just going out and shooting it out into the world and hoping people will listen to it or watch it. So at our Europe, we did a lot of these and we decided, well, let's try to do this for journalism and not just about the website we wanted to create or just, you know, it's being used a lot in startups, of course, it's from Google. So in this sort of application that we're building, right? So again, we brought together this team in 2018, the first time that we did it. And we basically said, let's go somewhere for 1 week with one team and make one story. And this is the story we produced in Moldova. It's still one I'd love to show because as you can see, it has custom design, it's a scrollable website, there was little things to click on, it has photography, it has these profiles of people that tried to save Moldovan democracy at the time. And it's still, I think, a story that really brings together in a very clean way the different formats that you can have, obviously, in an interactive, scrollable story. And it was really cool because this was the first time that we did this back in 2018. And immediately, this story got shortlisted for the European Press Prize in 2019 for the most innovative storytelling, which was obviously a little sign to us like, whoa, first time that we're doing this, we spent just 1 week in Moldova, obviously with a little bit of post-production behind. We're onto something. Let's try to do it again. So since then, we've been to places like Greenland, Cyprus, Georgia, Northern Ireland, Estonia, Sweden, and everywhere we went, we found that bringing the right people, creative people, people with different skill sets, people with different backgrounds, if you bring them in a room and guide them through the process without saying you have to do this or you have to do that, something magical will happen all the time. But also, we found that other organizations were like, hey, that looks really cool. Can you help do this for us? So Deutsche Welle, for instance, hired us to make this TikTok channel for their European project that they were doing called Enter. How can we reach young people with a TikTok channel and really try to make it collaborative in all its essence? So we did that. Same thing. We had a strategy design sprint for this TikTok channel. The Portuguese national broadcasters, they said, our Instagram channel is doing pretty great, but what we're lacking is a lot of engagement. So how can we make formats that really try to get the audience to comment on things and, you know, try to get a little bit more engagement on their posts? So again, that was the challenge. We defined how to do that. We tried it out. We prototyped it. And then they put it out into the world on their Instagram channel. So basically, RWE Europe and our partners, we really love collaboration and experimentation, as you can see, because we believe that the future of media is collaborative. It's decentralized. Media shouldn't, journalism shouldn't only be happening in Paris or Berlin or Amsterdam or the UK or the US, or even not in cities. It should be a local, connective tissue of all these sort of creators, small and big media players all over Europe, and that's what the future of Europe media is looking like. It's this new wave of niche, small players, small podcasts, magazines, YouTube channels, creators, and it's really a wave that's unstoppable because they're all community-driven. They're so much closer to the audience they're trying to reach when they're making a podcast about football in Albania than if they're trying to make something for this big audience that's all should be on the same platforms. But also, journalism's a change in becoming radically inclusive and transparent. And I know there's also some people here that for whom radical transparency is a core principle. It's about showing your process. It's about showing what you're using your funding on. It's about showing why you choose to include certain people, why you choose to go to certain places, and truly showing the process behind journalism rather than just saying, here's our product, please listen to it. Widescreen. So basically, with these four partners, RWE Europe, Arti Farti, who's also organizing this event, Hostwriter, NN Host, we decided to get together and build this project called The Circle. Because we all felt that the future of your journalism is looking like that. And we cannot just do it from Brussels, from Paris, from Amsterdam. We have to go out to Europe, to the different places, to cities that are often less visited, and also really see where there's a need for these kind of workshops, where there's a need for this kind of journalism. And also make the essence of these projects cross-border by nature, by creating a network from the start that has to work together on their different projects. So we went a bit of cherry picking. We went to all these different things, to startups, to the tech sector, to accelerators, to product designs, to innovation labs. And we chose the best pieces of exercises, of knowledge, and we pieced it together into this project called The Circle. But we wanted to be a bit different than other funding and accelerator programs, right? We really wanted to be doing projects with communities and not just for them. We wanted to bring diverse and multidisciplinary teams from the start, not just include journalists, but bring in graphic designers, podcast makers, website builders, people working communication, partnerships developers. We wanted to be on the ground and really have impact there, but also choosing different cities. So again, not going to Paris, but to Lyon, not going to Lisbon, but to Porto, not to Stockholm, but to Gothenburg. So we basically built out this network of 8 hubs. They're all here from different places across Europe, from Gothenburg to Tbilisi and from Naples to Vilnius. And obviously we also have these hubs, we're in one right now in Paris, but also in Berlin and Amsterdam and Brussels, who you can see are in these sort of darker purple places on the map, which are called high innovation media ecosystems. And basically our idea is, let's transfer all these things, let's transfer funding from the European Commission and bring it to where it's most needed. Again, need-based. Well, I'm not going to go through all this, but basically we had a 2-week design sprint where we said, what is the problem in your local media ecosystem? You can talk to all these hubs that are here, all their posters are hanging in the hall on the first floor. And we said, what would you like to start here if you have the opportunities, if you can work from here from the start, and if you have a little bit of funding to do so? So we had 2 weeks of design sprints in all these 8 cities. And then we had a 3-month mentorship program where we also said, here's a little bit of funding, go and try some stuff out. No strings attached. Do you want to pay yourself? That's great. Do you want to hire a designer to make a logo for you? Perfect. Do you want to get a coach to help you with revenue models? Fantastic. We also had a weekly workshop program where we said constantly, like, hey, these are inspiring people. You can learn from them. And over the course of 1 year, we built out this program from The Circle. But again, we applied these principles of design thinking to ourselves to constantly change, adapt, and reflect and make this program better, and also learn to what the hubs and the people were saying. So they were part, they didn't know this, but they were basically our user testing, our first groups to which we applied this pilot program and said, please tell us what we can do better. And again, The Circle was sort of called this way because it was like a local circle. They had local partners that we built them into. It was this network of hubs. And obviously, we were bringing them into this consortium of European partners, of new organizations, legacy media like the BBC. And it was really this sort of tied-in circular effect that we think make this circle network so different than other European networks. So after 2 years of The Circle, we went to all these 8 different cities. New media hubs have been launched. We just had the presentations yesterday and this afternoon. 6 NGOs have been started. Events have been organized. Podcast workshops have been organized. You can see it here. Meetups with freelancers. There's been new ideas coming up. So they've continued even after we've finished the mentorship program with them. And they've all launched a lot of different projects. So again, go give them... Go look at them, the posts outside on the first floor when you're done with this later on. And it's so cool to see that all these different people, all these different teams of designers, of podcast makers, of freelancers, that they've come together and try to make something different in their city, really tuned in to what is needed in a place like Naples or a place like Porto. But yeah, it was a pilot program. So as I said, we have to try, test, and adapt. So we're also basically introducing this new program, Designing Europe's Media for All. And we hope that with new partners, new funding from the European Commission, we're going to build this out into an even stronger, underground, very impact-driven program that's going to set up more hubs set up more inclusive media projects, and building on what is there, but designing better media projects for all. I'm gonna just go to these final slides. Because we believe that journalism should be inclusive by design. So whatever you make, whatever you design, whatever you think of, it should be meant for everyone, or very specifically for the audiences you really want to reach. Collaborative by nature, spoken all about that already. Ethical by practice, acknowledging that there's a lot of stuff happening with tech and data and privacy, but also understanding how it influences all these processes. Local by strategy, as I said, it starts at a local level, and by tying them into circular projects, you can get up impact on a European level. Accessible by habits. So instead of thinking, as an afterthought, thinking, oh, we should also make this text-to-speech thing on video or podcast, or we need to make sure this website is accessible for people from all abilities. This is a habit that we're building into all the activities that we're doing. European by operation, but obviously it's hopefully something that people can way across Europe or very local, very regional, very national can all work with and learn from. And democratic by process, because we believe that really letting people participate in what this program should look like, what the future of journalism should look like, and using their results in constantly adapting these programs and also bring these learnings back to the European Commission so they can adapt their programs and their funding. That what we really think is what underground journalism can do on a very top level. And hopefully by adding a lot more hubs and a lot of different places, we're going to have this super rich map of all sorts of cool European media hubs all over Europe, from Almaty in Kazakhstan to Valencia in Spain. And we hope that by continuing to build up partnerships that Europe is going to be a richer and more creative place than it already is. So again, this is what journalism should look like. And hopefully with this program, Designing Europe's Media for All, we can take small steps in a very humble way in trying to create a better European media space. Bam. And of course, we couldn't have done it alone. These partners, I want to thank them for these 2 years of this project. It's been a wild ride from the start. And we really listened to each other and try to make a program that really adapted to our needs, our missions, and was really collaborative by nature. So thank you all for that. Check out The Circle on thecirclehubs.org. And yeah, there's going to be a panel right after this all about putting this into practice, how this cross-border media collaboration is happening in practice with these partners. We're also going to show a bit of a documentary right after. So I'm not sure if we have time for a break, but otherwise just stay seated and enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you.